Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Anita Petit Law. You have joined us for a fabulous listening dialogue. We're going to get started with an opening song and then
will I have the eyes to see the good in every day? Have faith and believe in the power of my way. Will I have the strength? Love without condition. Fight against all my inhibitions. Will I be brave enough to support all your dreams? To know that what I see ain't all that it seems. Will I be present the day my dreams come true? Will I even see the miracles like I see them in you? Will I be open to inviting the change? See that it's my beliefs need to be rearranged. Could I be satisfied to live my life alone? I pretend to fall in love, truth never be shown. Can I be grateful for all that my life brings? Could my life just fall apart? I still show up and sing. Will I hold my faith and stay in the knowing? Everything's a blessing in front of me unfolding. Will I have the eyes the good in every day? Have faith and believe in the power of my way. In the power of my way. In the power of my way.
today's Conscious Dialogue. This is Anita Petit Law. I am the founder of the Power of Our Way community and the host for Conscious Dialogues. Today we are in for just an incredible treat. Our special guest is Dr. Charlene Proctor. She is the author of the best-selling book, Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. Clinching a coveted number one movers and shakers spot on Amazon.com on the day of its release, the book skyrocketed from a 900,000-plus ranking to number 23 on bestseller status. Charlene is a recipient of a coveted IPPY award for one of the best books in 2006 addressing women's issues. Let Your Goddess Grow has inspired many readers. She has also written Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 affirmations that change everyday problems to moments of potential. Please visit Charlene at thegoddessnetwork.net. We'll make sure to give you that URL a little bit. Today we're joining both on Blog Talk Radio. We also have a bridge line going, and we have Carol Kerr, one of our team members, sort of managing that bridge line. I will be opening up the call today. There are a couple different ways you can connect in. If you're listening to us via Blog Talk, you can certainly participate in the chat. The chat room is now open. You can also call in to the Blog Talk Radio line at area code 347-888-814. And, of course, those of you who are active members of the community, you may have taken advantage of calling in on the bridge line. So welcome, everybody. I hope that the song enabled the rest of you to get here as we prepared for this fabulous dialogue with Charlene. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of oneness. On one hand, you know, initially we had titled this Women in Oneness, How the Feminine Presence is Changing the World. And yet we really could look at this at beyond gender. It's really about, Charlene, bringing in the feminine presence in all of our interactions. So whether or not we are men, women, isn't that true? Charlene, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. Thank you.
Oh, welcome.
I'm only catching every other sentence from you, so maybe plug in your, I don't know, or maybe we'll just ask for divine grace to come through our microphones today and clear up the audio a little bit. But anyway, thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm happy to talk about women and oneness and anything you or the audience would like. So you lead the way.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. Charlene and I met quite synchronistically back in October. We were both invited to sit on a panel at a retreat with the Evolutionary Women Group, and folks could check them out at Evolutionary. I think it's Evolutionary Women.
It's evolutionarywomen.org.
.org, okay.
Yes, that was a great conference, yeah.
It was awesome, and that was really the first time I had heard of you. I'd seen your presence on the Internet. I was a little bit familiar with the Goddess Network, and then when we were both invited, of course, I checked you out a little bit more, and we had this incredible opportunity to connect there in person, and I quickly knew that we would end up forging both a friendship as well as a professional relationship. And so I'm so pleased to have you on the line today. And I know that since October, a lot has changed in your life. You've been introduced to some things that we're actually going to be talking about a little later on in the program that have really shifted a sense of priority and focus for you. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, when I first started doing this work about 8 years ago, when we brought together the resources and the people to run the Goddess Network, my objective in the beginning was to do as much as humanly possible to get women to step into a more empowered vision of themselves and to really understand their mindset and negative programming and working with the natural laws and all of the things that we've been talking about so much in the media the past couple of years about using the mind and manifesting our reality and so forth to really change the way that we not only perceive our reality, but what we're actually getting back from it. And, you know, I've been doing this work for quite a while, and I love it, and women are near and dear to my heart in every way, shape, and form, and I will never stop being one of the greatest advocates for women. But I think what's interesting is the more we begin to unpeel the onions and discover these layers of emotion and pattern and our spiritual self and how we relate to others in our lives and conduct our relationships and how we embody an image of the Creator, we're beginning to move into a really empowered heart set. So that's, you know, to me, that's a very interesting thing for me, because me being a former social scientist and doing a lot of work in academia and consulting for companies and so forth, I come from a very left brain, mechanistic, kind of linear type of thought process. And when I began to translate that into some sort of message that made sense for women, you know, you especially, Anita, as a spiritual teacher, know that real, true balance in our lives, whether we're men or women, needs to come from both the heart center and the mind. And okay. So, you know, I don't think that we can truly awaken to our potential and awaken to a sense of our divine selves until we're both really and primarily first understanding the mind, because I think that there's a lot of work to be done there. And so I spent a lot of years in affirmative thinking and teaching people present moment thinking, and we can talk a little bit about that on the show. But moving towards this change in my writing and my work is like balancing this with the heart center. It's learning how to think from the heart and to clear all of the residual stuff that might hold us back from truly experiencing this idea that we are one and that there is no separation at the fundamental level. So, yeah, that's kind of been my journey, and that's going to continue this year, and we can talk more about that too. So,
well, and what's very clear to me, you know, I know a little bit about your journey and what preceded you beginning the Goddess Network. I'm gonna ask you some questions about that. Mm-hmm. What's very clear to me is that your own evolution of working as an academician, as a professional in that very male-oriented, linear, science-based, right? Mm-hmm. Fact-based approach
mm-hmm.
to the work that you were doing, and then opening to the feminine literally caused you to make a radical shift and begin the Goddess Network. Can you share a little bit about that part of it, that shift for you?
Well, I always say to everybody that when we are awaiting some mystical experience of enlightenment or awakening, a lot of people tell stories about when all of a sudden, instantly, they move into a state of bliss or get this basic aha effect in their life. And then that sort of shifts everything for them. And I will honestly say, looking back at it, is that the shift didn't really happen there for me. I think and believe that for most of us, an awakening is a series of events that, as long as we're paying attention, maybe are not so necessarily mystical or you know, revolutionary in the sense where it completely, you know, changes us into totally different people, but it happens in stages, and that's the way it happened for me when I began to change into a different career. I had worked in a field where all of the things, all of the lessons that I had carried with me growing up in a house where the male energy and the male model of success was so vitally important and worshipped. And that was where, to me, moving into adulthood, an image of value and achievement represented. And so what happens to us when we don't understand ourselves very well as women and what our gifts are underneath all of that is that we're pursuing work that necessarily doesn't fill us from an energetic level or really brings out some of the stuff, the natural gifts that we had. So one day I drove to work and I sat outside the company that I worked for and I just could not get out of the car. I just said, you know what? If I don't find a way to fuse my spiritual side and to discover a sense of feminine power in the work I'm doing either now or something else, that I just wasn't going to ever be happy. So that's the day the Goddess Network was born. And I'll tell you, for one of these little awakening events for me, and again, we're defining that as something that brings us closer to, you know, a sense of our own divinity, is that's the day I really started to pay attention to the divine feminine and to really truly understand both intellectually and spiritually what that meant. So I spent a lot of time going back to my old skills as a researcher and to learn as much as I could about what that was and what truly is the feminine perspective on life and on history, on matters, and what this whole feminine presence means when we internalize it and bring it forth. The sense of the power of our intuition and the reverence for nature and compassion and patience, and that we have an innate knowledge of all things being in unity. And the more I began to understand that within myself and bring it forth, I knew that that was a very serious hole that existed in the hearts and the minds of many women out there. And honestly, and I think you may agree with me, is that our entire culture, our Western culture, has been lacking in an appreciation and a knowledge of this kind of thing for far too long. And so I felt it was my purpose and calling to find ways to bring that to women so that we could feel better and be more productive and just overall experience more success in our lives. So that's kind of how the Goddess Network got started.
And your focus has been, thank goodness, because this is such a great example of really responding to the call. You could have talked yourself out of it. You could have given yourself a million reasons why it was a bad idea, right? And yet,
I think our first reaction is always a panic.
Yeah,
oh no, what's going on?
Well, or we take the leap and then we're halfway off the ledge and we're going, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
Oh yeah, I went through all of that too. Yes, what was I thinking? I mean, there was very little thinking behind it. It was just kind of an impulse. But I think that is what I recall a calling really is. It's some kind of divine presence moving into you that you finally surrender to at some level and say, you know what, I'm not going to drive the bus all by myself anymore. I'm going to just listen and pay attention and maybe, if I trust, something new and wonderful will come about from this experience of co-creation between me and the divine. And that's all that it is. And you know what? Any one of us or anyone listening to this call can do this every day. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take an invitation from anybody. It's just...
It doesn't take a website.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. We learned that. We learned that after we built a fabulous website and went through many iterations of that. But it's important to remember that whatever we do, it's always a learning process. It's a journey, and we don't get it right the first time. I don't think we, even though we get the call, and we pick up the phone and say, yeah, I'll take the call, there's a lot of uncharted territory there for us. I mean, there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot about learning to ask for help and knowing where to get it and so forth. And so, you know, we just become better over time. And so in the beginning, then all of this evolved into a couple books, and those were very successful, and I enjoyed writing them so much. But now I'm moving into still taking my beloved women into a better, bigger, and clearer understanding of what the authentic self really is and what oneness is, and how I believe that we'll be changing the world as a result of understanding that.
Yeah, and also bringing in that feminine energy, you know, for men that are on the line today or listening in, this is not just exclusive for women. That's just how you have, your call has been to work primarily with women. I'll tell you the truth, Charlene, I have a sense that that's going to shift for you over the next year. we'll see. It'll be fun to watch. I know that a lot of your past work has been focused on helping women in particular become more aware of how they are programmed, how they have been conditioned, how they are wired, and to begin shifting some of that no longer the non-serving programming. We've shifted it through using affirmations. How is it that you use affirmations? How is it that you teach that and practice that? What would be some wisdom that you would share for listeners?
Well, first of all, the whole premise behind affirmations is that thoughts create reality, right? And there are all different kinds of ways of viewing complexity, world, how we're out there living our lives and maybe experiencing this life that is sometimes what we want, and we're always wondering why we don't get measurable results. Or we're out there and we keep creating the same problems, the same relationships, the same circumstances over and over again. And what I learned was that the problem behind all of that is simply that we just have to unseat old patterns of thinking. And if you go back and you read about what the brain scientists have been writing about for years, they're talking about neurological networks. And those are these ingrained patterns in our minds, and we are conditioned to just live on autopilot because we can't keep digesting all of this complexity all the time. We have a lot of stimuli and messages that are coming in at us. And the good thing about our brains and our bodies is that we have this ability to do things without thinking. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really don't want to think about vacuuming or brushing my teeth or typing on my keyboard every day. We kind of release that function to an automatic programming. But the problem is that we're learning, and we have been for a long, long time, learn to put our emotions on autopilot so that we're automatically reacting to something in the present moment that is just not a true representation of reality. It's based upon old triggers, old patterns of thought. And when we do that, that is what we call unconscious living. So the whole discipline and thought behind the affirmations, which, by the way, an affirmation is really all an affirmation does is declare to the universe what you perceive is already real and present in your life. So you're declaring something in the present moment, and you're taking your power by present moment thinking. And when we do that and we choose to be consciously aware of living in the present rather than the past, thinking about who said what to whom and maybe catching yourself feeling a certain emotion when it reminds you of something or somebody else, maybe when you're talking to a spouse or a partner or some current relationship, and all of a sudden you're talking to them and reacting the same way as you did a painful relationship that you've had in the past. And the more aware in the beginning that we can become of managing our emotions, not squishing them down and stuffing them down in a hole and putting a plug on them and saying, I'm never going to feel pain or suffering or any of those things again, but to be aware of what we're feeling and to make sure that we're not carrying a lot of old baggage. So I think that for women, it's really really innately difficult for us to do this. It doesn't come natural to us. A lot of it is because of the way our brains are wired. Our brains, which are equally as intelligent as men, it has nothing to do with intelligence, but it has to do. Can I talk about brain science a little bit here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is the thing, and this is what drew me to doing the work with women first, is that when you understand the way a woman's brain is wired, you know, we all have the same two brain hemispheres, right? We have the left brain and the right brain. And the left brain is all about linear progression and logic and doing, and it's about analysis. Yeah, it's all about discriminatory skills. And the right brain is about the intuition or the gestalt or the holism. Now, if you think about that and you think about a woman having 33% more neuronal fibers than men in the forward part of the corpus callosum, all that is that they have these dense fibers that link the two brains together. Okay, so you have corpus callosum that links the left and the right brain. Well, women have more connecting neurons. Their corpus callosum is denser than men. So you know what that means? It means that when we are problem solving, we are using more actively both sides of the brain. But men,
well, that's the whole brain thinking.
That's it. And the thing with men is, and we're always wondering why men seem to compartmentalize, and a lot of men, you know, they're very lineal thinking, and they do one thing really great at a time. They can do one task great, and women are multitaskers. Well, what does that mean? It means that, you know, because we're utilizing by nature our brain more fully on both sides, that we're much more integrated. We're more aware of our emotional depth, and you know, we do multitasking, generally speaking, a lot better than men. But what happens is that sometimes that doesn't serve us well at all, because we get all mixed up in this big emotional muck and we can't separate some things from other things.
Well, the other challenge is that we are very much socialized, typically, we are very much socialized in a linear brain society. So, for example, as soon as traditional schooling begins, we're really on some level being asked to dismiss or even separate out from the right part of our brain. At least as soon as first grade, kindergarten, we're still teaching in a very right brain methodology. First grade, we start to move into, you know, we're diagramming sentences, we're picking things apart, we're learning how to outline. And so it makes it challenging to be a whole brain thinker, a.k.a. a woman, in that linear society. Now, we also know that there are some men who are very much wired in the right brain.
And some men, too. I mean, Maybe Picasso was a right brainer, you know, not so much left brain. So, you know, there's always the outliers and the exceptions to the general model, if you will. But I totally agree with you. I think that for a long, long time in Western culture, we have been shown, and again, remember my little story about how I got into the work in the beginning, is in Western culture, the left brain model in the logical analysis, we're all going to get on Blackberries and calculate numbers, and we're going to find those kinds of ways to solve our problems. We've been brought up in a culture that values this very, very, very much. And so for a long time, women have been put into this mold of, we have to learn to problem solve and develop ourselves more with the sort of philosophy of the left brain. And we've really lost a sense of ourselves, I think. I see a lot of pain from women who want to understand why they feel so disconnected. They don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel that they can approach life the same way as men. And the truth is that we're not supposed to. I mean, it is not we're not genetically wired to do that. We bring a wonderful and enhancing and intuitive and fabulous unique flavor to this planet. And we haven't begun to appreciate ourselves and to know that it's okay at the end of the day to view life the way that we do. And, you know, there's always room for improvement, both women and men,
yeah.
You know, because that's our challenge, right? Especially in our closest relationships, is understanding the other gender. But we need to get back to a sense of self-value and self-worth. And you can't fight City Hall. We are who we are biologically. It's a wondrous creation, and we are meant to look at holistically and to problem solve the way that we're wired, and it's okay to do that.
No,
so that's what I call the goddess revival in us. Honestly, I haven't said that in a long, long time. It just kind of came into my head. But Anita, you know this is true. There is one of the fundamental lacking things in our society in terms of women being unable to love themselves and appreciate themselves is because maybe they haven't been taught that verbatim, but they've been shown a model of what is successful in a male-oriented world, and for many people, they just can't do it.
Yeah, they're trying to fit into a model, to assimilate into a model that just may not be natural for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, you know, going back to the use of affirmations, say, for example, to reprogram, what we're really talking on that level is addressing the individual's experience of their mind, becoming more conscious and aware of what's going on in the mind, very much which has been influenced through our cultural conditioning, trying to fit into this mold, trying to live in a left brain society with a whole brain mind,
mm-hmm.
being able to intuit and emote to an incredible depth that may not have previously been appreciated. And then this issue, this core fundamental issue that I see across the board, even with the most successful, powerful women, they're still changing their clothes 10 times before they leave the house. You know, there's still that.
I did that the other day.
You know, it's my grandmother who, God rest her soul, she just passed away in October. I recall a few months ago going to pick her up to take her somewhere. I can't remember. Maybe this was my mom was going to pick her up to take her somewhere. And she had to wait 30 minutes because she was in her room, God bless her, at 94 years old, changing her clothes no less than half a dozen times before going out to the local Walmart. And it was that fundamental sort of insecurity, I'm not good enough, the comparisons, all this has been a incredible theme in conversations I've had just over this last few days. And this really dovetails into connecting in on a very fundamental level to our inherent divinity, which within that space, we are perfect. There is nothing to benchmark and compare us to. We are fundamentally perfect. Can you talk a little bit about crossing that bridge into the awareness that we are part of the divine, that we are connected to that higher energy?
I'll tell you, this is one of the things I learned in my research I did for the first couple books, is what is it that holds women back? And then I have a whole theory about that. But part of my theory is that it's very difficult for women to believe that they are divine. They have the most trouble with it than anyone else. And it's difficult because they don't see themselves in images of saviors or God. And religions, Western religions, have a reference system. And I've had women come in my office and talk still how they were raised in very religious households, and they were told that they were sinful or blemished, and there was something wrong with them because
the Mary
they were
Magdalene.
Women. They couldn't get into, they could not accept at all that they were an individualized spark of creation. It's like the final hurdle for a woman to get over, for her to be able to begin to create her own reality in her life. And a lot of it is cultural programming. We've talked about some of the programming very briefly about, you know, maybe running our lives on old emotions, reactive, and so forth, living on the flight or fight type of platform. But I mean, to really, really demonstrate a life that you are empowered and that you can create out there and see the effects of your thinking and manifest. The fundamental part behind that is to believe and to know that you are a divine creation. And I truly believe that. I mean, it is scary for some people to hear that because they've been taught somewhere along the line that they are less than God and they couldn't be as divine and so forth. But the truth of the matter is that there isn't anything but one. I mean, you can't be outside of God if God is all that there is and you're in it. And so how could you be separate from that? I mean, scientifically, that just doesn't make sense. You can't be not all that. And so what's interesting is that I've seen, especially in the last year or two, people are beginning to, men and women, accept this idea more readily. It's making more sense. I don't know if it's just that we're beginning to listen or that we have more wonderful movies and books out there that are beginning to be circulated, and people are definitely more open to the idea that we are and that we are not strictly our ego self or our self-centered self. And as we know, the ego self is all about, you know, being separate, and that we're born into some illusion, and that is not what life is. You know, to me, life is partly an exercise or a series of exercises that help us manage our careers and our money and having children, full experiences, but we're initially, I think that we're designed to experience the idea, I mean, of separation. The human self really is programmed for the idea of separation, which is the basis of all human suffering. I think that we're moving out of that. We're moving out of that process very slowly, and we're.
Well, even when we look at traditional religion, because I think that our religious upbringing and how we have come as, you know, and every culture is going to view God a little bit differently, although on some fundamental level, we all see God as creator, as a creative force. And what's interesting about traditional religion is that even how we refer to God is very much a gender-based reference, right? We refer, and I'll do that. You know, I've learned to translate I'll say he, and I understand in my mind that God is genderless. And yet, it's interesting because when we talk about connecting into divinity, connecting into this relationship that we have with God, that we are part of that energy of the divine, it's very easy, I think, for women in particular to see themselves as separate from that. And in reality, when we look at that, you know, we hear time and time again, we are created in the likeness and image of God. Well, if God is a male image to us, if God is a father image, God as the father, how do we connect into that as from a feminine energy standpoint? The essence of we are created in the likeness of God is we are created likeness of God as creator. We as creators,
mm-hmm.
male, female, regardless, mm-hmm. we are creators in this reality.
And it's not gender based. And I think finally people are beginning to understand that. And taking thousands of gods, not man, and it's principle. It's the principle, the male principle. In the female principle. And to me, the male and female principle is about intellect, which I think represents static, this transcendent the essence or this infrastructure that kind of holds, you know, the universe together. And the feminine presence or the emotion is about multiplicity. It's about the totality of our experience. It's about being in a physical incarnation, which is such a sacred experience, and that we are demonstrating our divinity through this physical body, and that is how we evolve as individuals and as a collective. So being, you know, in the image of God is both of those principles, because you can't have one without the other, and they're both equally important.
How profound to really connect into that.
Yeah. So I always say that when we're in an incarnation where we're female, I think we're really meant to really experience how magnificent this love in action is. I mean, it's a tremendous opportunity to really understand bringing in the spark of divine power, which, you know, are born with. It's everyone's gift, but really harnessing it is beautiful. And to me, that's what I think is exciting, is with some more emphasis, I think, and I guarantee in the next 3, 4, 5 years, we're going to see so much more out there in our literature and in our films, concept of oneness. And it's, and when you think about it, now I think about world politics and world culture, we're so afraid of walking that bridge, because we finally have to admit that we're all on the same playing field.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to both require and foster, I think, a major shift in consciousness into, you know, from a place of looking at our lives just as individuals to looking at our lives as part of a community, and moving beyond even nationalism to internationalism, to looking at global consciousness and global initiatives for, you know, whether that's peace or healing or the environment. It's going to both require and foster a major shift into a very conscious connection into the collective.
And, you know, these terms are, and maybe in our world, in your world, in my world, and in the world that we are our own teacher, these terms are just like, you know, everyday things, because we use them when we get them, and every day that we use them, they become more clear to us. But for everyone else, these are lofty, abstract, complicated concepts. And, you know, especially
unity, for example.
Unity is a very abstract concept. I mean, it shouldn't be. It's simple in its own essence, but it's also can be very abstract, and it is difficult for people to embrace it, because they see themselves as being separate in a human body, and they can't conceive that a person living in Baghdad is sharing the same mind that they do.
Well, and here's, I think, where we'll bridge the gap, where, you know, when things like unity, things like global healing or global peace are so abstract and feel so much outside of our influence, as you know, the bridge here is really looking at what level of unity do you experience with yourself? What level of unconditional love do you experience within yourself? What level of peace and harmony are you currently in? How can you begin to foster and heal and grow at the individual level, knowing that it is enhancing the collective?
Exactly. And what you just said is so profound, because we're always saying peace begins with me, peace begins with me. And it's true, because if we are to grasp unity in the world, and to make a better planet and to make it more environmentally safe and have more joy and all those things that we visualize every year at Christmas time, we have to first bring those things into our own individual consciousness. We have to magnetize them. We have to affirm it. That's positive thinking and mind, and we have to feel it, passionate at a very, very deep level from our heart. And those concepts begin with the individual. You know, if you want anything in your life, there's the old saying, well, then be that. If you want prosperity and abundance, then be the idea of prosperity and abundance.
Exactly.
If you want to be loved and be cherished, then become those ideas yourself. And those
this
things
is part
will be
of
attracted
that
to you. It's the natural law. I mean, we've been talking about this stuff for 2,000 years, and thankfully, my goddess, they have a movie out on it called The Secret,
right.
And people are beginning to embrace this stuff. And, you know, it's kind of a side note here. I got to tell that there are a lot of discussion groups that sprung up around this film. And I'll tell you, I watched it last year. I had people approach me, and I myself started a group locally. They wanted to understand these principles that we're talking about right now, about unity and the law of attraction and all those things. And I was so, I rejoiced in that. I thought,
know,
you know what?
We're like, thank God, yay!
Didn't you feel the same way when you saw this? I thought, wow, it's about time that we're beginning to embrace some of these things. So you know what? I really think that the idea of oneness is right around the corner. I also think, and this is kind of scary and it might sound fear-based to you, but since I feel safe and nurtured on your show, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. But I think that it's possible that we will see some sort of environmental challenge. I don't want to say disaster. That's a very fear-based word, but a very big environmental challenge in the next 5, 6, 7 years. I really feel that. And you know what it's going to do? It'll be a good thing in the end, exactly, because we're going to understand that the hydrological cycle, the water cycle, is a global thing. You know, just because you're setting off an explosion or a nuke or a virus in, you know, one part of the world, we're all going to be ingesting it in our food, in our air, and water, and so forth. And I think it's going to hit home to a lot of people because experiential learning, this was part of the thing I did when I was working as a social scientist. That's the thing that makes the most impact on people. And we're going to probably, unless things really change, you know, and a fabulous shift in several years, I think there'll be something that happens that drives that lesson. That's going to wake people up and go, you know what? We're really not this big, giant planet that we thought we were. We're all sharing the same resource very intimately, and that I think in the end it will help us move toward more of a unity principle in everyday life. And once you begin to experience it in your everyday life and in your everyday thoughts and in your everyday actions, what happens? It's like a pattern in the brain. It's a new neurological network, and we begin to demonstrate that in every way.
No, it's what you're really talking about, and this would be a whole nother show. What we're really talking about is moving from that consciousness. It's been important up until maybe, well, I'm not even going to put time frames on it. It's been important for us to connect into, say, nationalism, national spirit. When a country is just beginning to be established, that's important because it pulled together. Let's use the United States as an example. We went from being the United States of the Americas to the United States of America. We moved, we evolved in our consciousness from a state consciousness or, you know, a village consciousness or a city consciousness to a national consciousness. Now we're at a place in the evolution of the human race where we're saying, you know what, yes, it's important to have national pride and all of that and identify ourselves as Americans or Iranians or Pakistanians or Iraqis, whatever that is. However, what you're talking about is really moving to that next level where we say we are one as a human race.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the borders provide us with a sense of safety and identity, and that's really fabulous. And we want to have that sense of individualism and nationalism still alive, yet what's it going to take for us to shift into a realization, a recognition, and ultimately a decision that we've got to begin looking at us as part of the whole.
Well, I had Fox News on the other day, and they had these guys. This is the funny segment here. They had a couple of guys on TV that lived in Texas, and a whole bunch of their friends and their community and them had witnessed a UFO. And I'll tell you, you know, the first thing we see when we see this is, oh, you know, it was all fake, and we've been talking about this for years, and there haven't been any extraterrestrials landing, and, you know, it's just kind of an amusing thing we see on the news. But I'll tell you, you know, it's another sign to me when I saw that on TV that we're beginning to get out of ourselves, and we're beginning to consider the possibility that there's so much more out there. I mean, think about it. Think about that being a news item on a conservative television network. It was like a lead story. And maybe 40 years ago or 30 years ago, it would be considered a joke or something. People would be all fearful and start hiding in their basements and whatnot. So, you know, there's all of these different signs and influences all around. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people, especially the folks at Oneness University, they're doing fantastic work to begin to deploy this idea of unity and oneness and a shared consciousness.
Yeah, well, let's shift into that.
Yeah.
Last year, because it's so funny, Charlene and I spoke earlier, and she says, how are we going to fill an hour and a half? And I'm thinking, no problem, dear. No problem.
We're probably, what, are we already at an hour? We could go a little more.
I know.
Sure.
Well, and last year, it's been just a little over a year, I had the opportunity to interview Arjuna Arda, who had recently released The Translucent Revolution, which was just a fabulous book. And for anybody on the line that is really looking at how to navigate both the human and the divine, you know, and how to do that successfully, and how to sort of experience the beauty of being an awakened being. I'm not going to use the word enlightened, but being an awakened being, being a conscious being, and yet very much navigating a human experience. That's a fabulous book.
Mm.
Now, when I interviewed him, he was just putting the finishing touches on his next book, Awakening to Oneness. He had been personally invited out to the Oneness University in India and had gone out as a skeptic, and yet had such a profound experience after being there for those few weeks that he fully embraced this incredible opportunity to write the first official and commissioned work on this whole concept of oneness and Diksha. And you have been blessed by being introduced to that. Can you talk a little bit about the oneness movement, what ideas are being taught, and how that's impacting you and your direction?
Well, obviously, it's evolving my own work as a professional, and it's evolving me as an individual, so I'm very thankful for that. But I will tell you that years and years ago, I went to do some studying with Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi, who is, at the time, and probably still is, reputed to be a person who can heal people, heal their hearts and physical issues, and was kind of the Hindu version of Christ. And I thought, you know, I think I want to see this person. Maybe at the time I was operating a little bit in my left brain, considering lovingly where I came from. And I said, you know, I really need to see her. And I had a friend of mine called Barbara DeAngelis, who's a self-help author. She's written a lot of books. And she told me to go to her website and check it out, and she called me and said, I really feel that you need to be there. So I went to her website, and when I put my hands on the keyboard, her energy, her Shakti came right through me. It was coming through my hands. I mean, and I'm like observing myself having this experience and going, you know what, this is truly amazing that energy can travel like this. And I said, well, I'm going. So I went there, and it was a very intense, very long, very physically demanding spiritual retreat. And during this retreat, Ma gave darshan, which is what we would call a spiritual encounter or a holy blessing that's given.
Or an energy transfer, we might call it.
Yeah. So when she did this, and she did, I think, the day that we did that with the group, did like 300 or 400 people. And I've been in these sessions many times, and it's amazing how they can sit there and generate this thing for everybody. But each person gets to do this. And when I had it the first time from Sai Ma, it was like being cracked open like an egg, and all of this pain and coming out and uncontrollable emotion. And I was done being with her for several minutes. A friend of mine who's a minister at Center for Universal Truth, Reverend Sandy Moore, she was with me. And she said, you know, Charlene, she said, the reason, first of all of this emotion is coming out of you is that we are so unaccustomed to being in the presence of a person that is putting additional love. And that alone is so powerful. When you're sitting with somebody and the love is coming out of them so strong and powerful in waves, it washes you clean. I felt the next day that I was supremely washed, folded, and dried, and hung up on a line. There's no other explanation for it. It's an energy that comes through you. It's like a hands-on transfer of power. And I've had this actually in November. I went to see Amma, who's one of the world's biggest philanthropists. She's another Eastern teacher and gives Diksha to everybody. The day that I was there, she gave it to 2,000 people. I mean, it was truly amazing, and it was equally as powerful. And the thing that's interesting to me now that I'm going to be going to the Oneness University to what I feel is complete this work so that I can bring this gift to others, is that the way that the people, the dasas and the avatars, are teaching what the Diksha is presented in a way that it could be really grasped by the Western mind. And I really like that.
As somebody who comes from, you know, my father was from India, and I recall, you know, really just in the last few years, recognizing how much he very subtly taught and demonstrated. And now to see that coming into Western mainstream is just, it's phenomenal.
And, you know, when I was with Sai Ma, we were all taught to give Diksha. She has her own way of doing it. And we worked with the concept for a while. But the thing about the work that's being done at the Oneness University, and for everybody who doesn't know, Oneness University is in India. You can look it up on the web. It's really amazing facility. And there is a couple people there who are avatars. And an avatar, a divine avatar, really, is somebody who's God-realized. Someone who is a bestower of blessings. And there's a wonderful story, and maybe next time we can talk more about Sri Amma Bhagwan, who are actually two different people. Amma and Bhagwan consider themselves one avataric consciousness. And so the energy that comes out of them is so incredibly powerful. They've constructed, teaching programs for children, all this work that they did their whole lives kind of led up to building the Oneness University. And their purpose primarily was to train spiritual advisors or dasas, you know, their master students, to transfer, to give this energetic transmission to other people in the world. Now, one day, I guess Bhagwan had a vision that, you know, they're going to do 64,000 people in the world, and that's going to be enough to shift consciousness. And he doesn't, you know, make any bones about it. He doesn't explain it. He just said, oh, well, yeah, that's our vision. When we're done doing 64,000 people, we're going to be done with the work because we feel that that's enough to shift consciousness.
The 100th monkey.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention that. And once in organizations, families or businesses maybe that are struggling, once they build up a momentum and all of a sudden there's this tipping point, like Malcolm Gladwell so eloquently put, there is an instantaneous and sporadic change in all elements of a system. And so, you know, when I heard that, I said, well, this is exactly what people in the West have been reading about a couple of years, is this tipping point. You know, this concept of tipping point has been introduced to the Western mind several years ago. So what they're doing at One University is that they are training and helping people from all over the world, not just from the U.S., but from every country on the planet, impart this energetic transmission to them so that they, after you know, they go through the process, will be able to give it to someone else. And so person by person by person by person, like little dominoes all over the planet, will be able to transfer this amazing energy, and they really feel that this is going to be the thing that will uplift humanity and join us together, you know, as a unified consciousness. It's absolutely fascinating to me. So I'm going to go there and do it in March.
So exciting. I well, who knows? Maybe I'll manifest both the time and the resources to join you. It's been something that's both fascinated me and resonated at a very deep level. I think even at a genetic and DNA level for me with my heritage and my lineage. And of course, Charlene, you know that our focus with the Power of Awake community, and for folks that are joining in and haven't checked out that website, you can look at powerofmyway.com and check out what we offer in that community. The focus is and has always been on positively feeding the collective consciousness. Now, it's always beginning at raising consciousness at that individual level. That's the premise of my first book, The Power of Awake, A Path to a Collective Consciousness. That's why we do that together, always. Like everybody that's reading that book around the world is on the same day today, day 23 faith. And what I love about whether it's the oneness movement or whether it's have just thousands of teachers and spiritual healers and, you know, whether we call that a teacher, an avatar, a guru, each of us, if we start to shift our eyes, our perception to this reality, it is reality, that what we do at the individual level is feeding the consciousness of the collective. It's either feeding it in a positive way or it's feeding it in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really ultimately let me not say that. And I do want to open up the lines. I want to open up the bridge line to see if there are any callers. If somebody's listening to Blog Talk, can call in at 347-838-8214. I'll see that you come on the line and I can open up the line. Let me ask you, what's the essence? I'm trying to think of the best way to pose this question. What do you see your role as part of the many Diksha practitioners when you come back from Fiji? How do you see your business even and the Goddess Network beginning to connect in more to that sense of we can transform the world. We can transform the collective consciousness.
The first thing I think is going to happen is that I'm going to be able to be a conduit to explaining to people in the West what the Diksha is. Not everybody like you or like me or lots of people we know run to the self-help bookstore and buy books on Diksha. And, you know, people never heard that term before. They do not know what it is. What I'd like to do is to first get on a level of understanding with folks about what that really means, how and how we receive it. It's basically because they say, oh, well, if you get Diksha, you're enlightened. And I don't think anything could be further from the truth. I think the truth is what Diksha is this initiation, and it shifts your brain neurobiologically. And I think it's really interesting that earlier in the conversation we were talking about the brain. Well, putting energy, this light transmission, into the brain, all it's doing is it's activating certain areas of your frontal lobe, and then other areas of your brain, like the parietal lobe, get deactivated. So what it's doing is it's helping to change your perception of reality. And when we become more...
I think partially because you open to a greater depth of experience.
Right. You're opening...
You are perceiving at
right.
a much different level.
You're becoming more self-aware. You're becoming aware of the true self or the enlightened self, however you may call it in your wisdom tradition. But when your mind is awakened, what happens is that you are able to experience physically the feeling of oneness. And we've already been talking about that. It's being one with the divine. And so what's interesting to me, and I think that's going to get translated in my work, is to get people to actually physically experience this so that they understand that it is a real thing and that they can carry that with them in whatever they do in life, whether they're a veterinarian or somebody who is a full-time mom or a business person or a doctor or you know, a waiter, whatever they're doing in their life, they can bring this energy through intention. They can bring it through their eyes. They can give the blessing without really saying anything, or they could do it as a hands-on transmission. So I think that the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get out there and show people what this is and make it more a part of our everyday vernacular so that it isn't something so mystical or spooky. And then I'd like to be able, second wish I suppose, would be that it would be coming through in the form of the books. And this is, sounds very strange, but I will tell you, Anita, that there's a book that I read. Have you heard of Kiara Windrider?
I don't think I have.
This guy, you've got to get this book. I'll get it for you if you can't find it. It's called Diksha, The Fire from Heaven. And here's a guy who went to the Oneness University and wrote a book about it. And he says that the book itself, reading the book, is a Diksha. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm so sensitive to the energy already that when I read the book, I started feeling it flowing right out of my head. It was like an energy force coming out between my eyes and the top of the head. So I know, and I would tell everybody this because I always tell the truth, that it is real and it is able to be transferred easily from one person or one book or one person's gift to another. And once we start circulating this, I think it's going to really change the world, and I see myself right in the middle of it.
Now, it's interesting, and I do want to open up the lines to. So Carol, who's managing the bridge line, you can get everybody ready if they have questions. They can unmute. I'll be pulling them on the line in about 10 seconds. You know, Brent and I, as creators, as writers and songwriters, we are very intentional. We really even, I even look at myself as bringing an infusion of certain energies into what I'm writing and creating, and whether that's a song or an article or poem or a book, people do have that tangible experience. And I think what's so powerful about the oneness movement is that it is about infusing all that we create.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you don't have to be a songwriter or an author or a teacher. It's infusing your relationships. It's infusing your interactions. It's infusing the meal that you prepare for dinner tonight with that divine love energy, and people do feel it. People do feel it.
I always tell people, because I love to cook, that if you're going to eat at my house, I always put the love into the food when I'm cooking it. And you'll do, if you ever do that, you'll notice that people are just happier and feel better after you cook for them. And there's a story, a little, it's not a story, but I just want to mention something because you and Brenna are musicians. Is there's a guy, he's the drummer of Def Leppard, is that? I think it's Rick Allen. Is it? Did I get that right?
Brent would know. He's
anyway, yeah, ask him tonight. I think it's Rick Allen. But the guy, he has one arm.
And, oh, yeah.
Okay, and so he went to the Oneness University, to the 21-day process, or the, whatever they were calling it a couple years ago. And you know what he said? He said that when he plays in the band, he gives Diksha through intent. And and you know, you can do this, and I think everyone is capable of doing it. And I just think what an amazing, wondrous world it would be if we have more people who were giving it to each other just by whatever it is that they do normally in everyday life. And I really feel in my heart that my path has led me to this point, be able to go there and bring this gift back and give it to other people. I think it's exciting, it's humbling, it's absolutely where I need to be in my life and my work, and so there'll be part two of Charlene coming up in a couple months.
we of course could go on for hours. I'm going to go open up the bridge line and let's see if there are any callers. Carol, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
There she is. And you have some folks with you. Are there any questions for Charlene?
Well, I just want to comment on something. This is Carol, Anita's mom. And independent of Anita, I had an experience with Diksha. I stayed for a Diksha session after a Unity Church service last spring. And I don't know that I can explain it except that during the process, which was meditative, I would say, and the people who were certified in Diksha were moving around and giving us the blessing. It was incredibly peaceful, but the shift I felt that didn't go away. I mean, I've done meditation before, and, you know, you meditate, and then you go out into the world, and a day later, where's the meditation? But this was a huge shift. And it was an absolute gift because I know that it helped me as I navigated a very difficult year while I was caring for my mother and my sister, who both passed away last year. There's something different. So I really enjoyed that part of the conversation.
That is this whole thing. And they will tell you, I mean, Bhagwan will say that it is enlightenment, if you can even call that a state of being somewhere, and they don't like using the term, they like awakening. But the whole concept of that is this neurobiological shift in the brain. And what is so exciting for people like you and me and others who are having this experience is that you can actually feel it. It's real. And I know that when I had Diksha from Amma in November, it was a very peaceful, calming experience, and I could bring it back quickly and easier when I entered her own energy state in a meditation. And that's what's so exciting, is if we can teach people how to revisit that and to renew it and bring it back, then we can get to that state, which makes us better complexity managers and better able to navigate through a lot of these challenges that we're experiencing every day. And I think that is just incredibly exciting, and I'm so happy that you called in to give your story, because it just reinforces more that there's something there that is so beneficial to people. And
I know, this is Anita again, that I observed that shift in Carol, and it was tangible, and the ripple of that shift was phenomenal, because she was caring for two loved ones at the end of their life. And I think that also has helped you with the latest family challenge with my younger brother, Dev, who just recently was diagnosed with cancer. And, well, if we could go into the story of that, we only have a few more minutes left. Carol, is there anybody on the bridge line that has any questions or comments for either Charlene or myself?
I know there are 7 people because I can see that on the screen on the computer.
So I don't know if you have them muted. You can unmute them and we can see. Are there any folks that have a question for Charlene? Also, folks that are on the chat that are listening to this via internet. It may be just one of those conversations where we sort of need to absorb, right?
Well, it also means
hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi,
hello.
Welcome.
Share
your
Michelle,
name.
And I do have a question for either one of you.
Hi, Michelle. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Texas.
Well, fabulous. Welcome.
And the question has to do with the Shekinah, the divine feminine, and it's very related to what you're talking about in terms of the oneness movement because I know of some spiritual folks who have been calling in and meeting in a group and calling in, and I guess last year they called in the Shekinah, and this year the group is meeting to call in the Metatron, which would be the divine masculine, and there's going to be a marriage between the two. And I'm just wondering if y'all know anything about that.
Well, the Holy Shekinah, or the Shekinah, is the divine feminine represented in the Jewish tradition. Am I not correct? The
yes.
Divine feminine presence. And I'm sorry, what was your question? Is calling in that energy?
Well, is it related to
just
the,
what
the,
do you know about it? And because I know there's a Venus transit that's coming up in June that has a lot to do with kind of a new golden age. Actually, I was just reading on the Oneness mm-hmm. University that some of these things that are happening on a bigger astrological global perspective that have everything to do with how we're going to show up on Earth.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that we're in a time, and I can't speak as an expert in terms of the astrological influences that we're going through now, and I know that others can, and I do believe that there are certain periods, you know, in our evolution where maybe more influence, such as right now where the divine feminine is coming in, is more pronounced so that we're more receptive to it. I absolutely believe that, you know, in the last at least 20, 30 years, something like that has been going on because there's been so much goddess revival and interest in what the principle is. Again, I think it is that we as men and women are allowing our hearts to flower, and that we're not all about the mind, and that we're also about the heart, and that this nurturing and revitalization is also about taking action and instituting those feminine principles in our lives and our work, and that's been something that's been missing for too long. So, you know, however you call her power in, or to acknowledge her, I think is you know, part of anybody's awakening process. Because remember, like we were talking earlier, Nita and I, about our culture being so unbalanced without that energy or recognition in it. It can't all be about God, the He. It has to be about He and She. And I think that when we welcome that and we're not afraid of that, I think that we become more balanced in our viewpoints and that we're more appreciative, certainly more self-loving. So that's what I would say about that.
I think I too cannot speak as an expert on the astrological. However, what I am observing from a, if I were to pull my perspective up, way, way up, is that all of the forces in the universe, so whether that is the earth and the environment, whether that is the human level consciousness, whether that is technology and business and progress in terms of communication and really moving towards a more global approach, we'll also see the astrological influence, the consciousness influences, the business, the technology, the environmental pieces all coming together for the higher good of the evolution on the planet. So who knows? Maybe I'll book a guest that can speak more to the astrological influences there. I think that what we are seeing are multiple forces that are all connected. They are all part of the totality of the one. And part of that is there's a lot of beauty in that because each of us is spoken to in different ways. So one person may resonate by learning more about the astrological. Another may be more called to energy. Another may be more called to shifting consciousness to business. Others are called to focusing on the environment. So it gives us an amazing opportunity to really choose what it is we resonate with most, what it is that calls to us that we feel passionate about, and then increase our learning, increase our knowledge and skill, and bring that to the planet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm not just interested in the astrological as much as I'm really fascinated by the whole reemergence of the divine feminine and just people's awareness of it.
Well, definitely then, you know, check out Charlene's website at the Goddess Network.
Goddessnetwork.net.
Mm-hmm. I always have to double check. And I'm sure we'll have Charlene on the show again and stay connected to that. Plus, her book is just fabulous. Definitely check that out. Is there another question? I do have a question that's come in through the chat. Maybe there are two levels to this, and then see if we have time for another one from the bridge line. This is from Blessed, aka Cindy, who asked this question. This is an important question, Charlene. Does it feel frustrating to know what you know and still see the state of the world?
Okay, you just broke up. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Does it feel frustrating to know what you know and still see the state of the world?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. But this is our job as light givers. And even before I knew anything about Diksha, as far back as when I was a kid, I knew that my job was to give the light, whether that was through being a good parent or a mother to my children or through artwork or through any type of professional work. I've always been interested in giving the light to other people. And I guess when that becomes your primary purpose, when you strip it all away and get down to brass tacks and basics, you know, it's just a constant reminder that that's what we're here to do. That's what Anita is here to do. And, you know, it makes the frustration just kind of dissolve and go away because every day that I'm on this planet is an important day for me to work and to spread the light to others. So thank you for asking that.
What would you say, and this goes along to a second statement that made on the chat room. She says she's trying to do her part, knowing that she can affect the shift as she changes her life and her internal world
mm-hmm.
and how she's interacting with life in general.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge contribution. I have to interrupt. It is a huge contribution just to do that. Remember,
yeah.
It starts with each individual. I mean, I don't think we all need to be at the forefront of, you know, the world spiritual stage. I think that the only way it's each person doing their part, and in some way we are transferring and lifting up the energy of each person that we come in contact with. And we may not see it, we may not get acknowledgement from people verbally or written, may not, you know, readily see it, but it is working.
Well, and what would you say, because I think that many people, not just Cindy, have this experience where they're on this internal spiritual journey. They are doing that work, and thank God for each and every one of you who is, because it does feed positively collectively. What would you say to the person who's wanting now to bridge that into their family, their intimate relationships, and yet their family, their intimate relationships aren't necessarily drawn to do this work? What would you say to that?
Well, I experience that personally, on almost a daily basis. All I know is that putting anything into motion is a trajectory. It just takes a little push to get something moving along, and you have to let it go once you make the push. And
add a little sugar to the spot and
the pot,
and nobody can avoid getting a little sweetened, right?
I know. And it's not about being a good salesperson either, because you can sit and try to sell a concept all day, day in and day out, but until somebody is truly receptive to it, you're not really sure if it's sinking in. But I will say this, is that the more you are something, the more you are the essence of abundance or love or compassion, those things are attracted to you automatically in every way, shape, and form, and that is definitely true with people. So if you spend your time being that, whatever you define that to be, those things will be magnetized to you automatically. And, you know, sometimes those are people in your family and in your closest relationships, because the soul recognizes that at a very intimate level. In ways we don't have control over that, because like attracts like. So I think that to see results, to be what it is you want to be, and those things will come to you and be more evident. And I think that's the true confirmation of change in one's life.
Well, we could go on for hours, and we've got 3 minutes till the countdown, and we're going to be cut off on Blog Talk Radio. The bridge line would stay connected. Charlene, it has been a divinely beautiful pleasure to have you join us today. I want to thank everybody. Please visit Charlene's website at thegoddessnetwork.net. Of course, check out powerofmyway.com. We have many new programs getting ready to start at enlightenedbiz.com, and also check out powerofmyway.com/havingitall.html. You have been enjoying the Conscious Dialogue event with the Power of Our Way community. My name is Anita Law. Our special guest today has been Charlene Proctor, Dr. Charlene Proctor, founder of the Goddess Network. I want to send many, many blessings to all. Enjoy. Be peace. Know peace. The most divine ways. So, Charlene, thank you so much. We have about a minute. Anything that you want to say to our listeners, just to wrap up?
Well, and thank you for having me, first of all. And if anyone has any questions or wants to contact us, just send us an email. It's all over our website. You can't miss it. It's TGN. That stands for the Goddess Network. TGN@thegoddessnetwork.net. And if you email us and tell me that you heard me on Anita's show, we'll send you a free empowerment show. Just go to the website and pick one out you like. It's an audiovisual program, and we'll be happy to send you a free download if that's what you would like. And thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here today. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And for those of you that are still listening, leave a comment, subscribe to Blog Talk so that you get notified of our next show. And it's been, as always, a pleasure. This is Anita Petit Law with PowerOfMyWay.com. Many, many blessings. You'll hear a few minutes of our ending song. We're going to rock you out for a minute or two. Charlene, thanks. I'll connect with you later. Bye-bye.
There's nothing stopping anyone from knowing what they know. Getting on this ride, cause life, my consciousness shall grow. Look around, why don't you look around this room? Surrounded by grace and glory, just wait, you're gonna feel it soon. Religion don't matter, not color, race, no creed. We all come from the same place, believe it, then be free.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. This is Carol,
and
unless anybody has any other comments.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Awesome.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. Well, yeah, so we're done with our blog talk. Any questions or comments? This is Anita Patik Law. All said their goodbye. Well, thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll give you a call in a few minutes.
Okay, I'm going to be leaving soon to go up to the community college. I've got a train this afternoon.
Well, thank you for bringing everybody on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was concerned that whether they were the comments that you got at the end, were they from the
they were folks on Blog Talk.
It was on the Bridge Line? Or
yeah.
You called in?
No, that was stuff on Blog Talk Radio. I think
because
the caller,
I couldn't hear it. And I never muted it. But when I got on, and the first two calls in before I called you, I said hello to people, hello, 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 and didn't hear anything. But people stayed on, so they were hearing you.
Oh, well.
Anyway, for whatever it's worth.
It's always that tactical. Sometimes I'll show you how to get on. Well, you must have been on the on-call.
I was. I even in my outbox, and I've disconnected my computer now, but I've even sent you a log of, I did a screen copy so you could see how many called in and how long they stayed on. So.
Sometimes just doing that mute and unmute can bring people on, but that's part of why we've been having challenges with that long.
Okay.
That's part of why we moved to Blog Talk.
I see. Okay. Well, I love you, sweetheart. That was really interesting about the Diksha.
I know. I want.
Yeah,
aching.
I'm sure you do.
aching. It's aching.
All in the divine timing that it's meant to be.
My timing is hitting up against divine timing.
Yeah, I know. Because you've always been like that, you know? You've always been impatient. Who buys a house at 19? Who, you know, wants to finish school early? Who goes to work at 14, you know, or 12? You know, it's like, you know, you've always been like that. Always been in a hurry.
It's a good thing, too. It's been more of a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just, you know. Okay.
Well what time are you teaching? How about
This is the first day, so I need to be up there at 3. It's from 4 to 7, and I just need to get up and get set up. So,
well,
this is an evening series. So, anyway,
Let me see what's on my calendar for tomorrow. I'm just gonna check my calendar. I've got a pretty open morning tomorrow. I don't know what your morning is. You have a meeting. Barry Engel at 2.
Actually, I'm teaching all day tomorrow. I have flexibility on Friday.
I'm teaching
good
all day
for me.
Friday. I'm teaching all day Friday.
Okay.
So,
I thought you had Thursdays too.
What about
Southern
Sunday
Management? Dinner? Listen, this is going in and out.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, what about Sunday dinner? Let's talk about maybe doing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.